1-877-337-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We're back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
And welcome back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM WEEI. Nick Coit, Scott Cordishy with you. To the text line we go before we get back to your phone calls. The Athletic reporting Bob Kraft was enraged by the text, paused his business trip yesterday to get Bill Belichick on a call and work out the firing. And that is indeed what Jeff Howell of the Athletic reported, that it was those texts from Antonio Brown that was the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back.
Yeah, I'm reading it as we speak, and the quote is here. Howe writes, quote, Kraft, who was on a business trip, became enraged Friday when he heard the details of Brown's most recently reported incident of text messaging harassment of a former female acquaintance. Kraft and Belichick spoke and decided together to officially release Brown just 11 days after the Patriots signed the controversial star wide receiver, according to sources. So, and it lines up with a lot of the reporting out there that, and it was interesting too to see last week, and maybe you saw this being in the stadium, Scott, there was a clip somewhere of, so Drew Rosenhaus, who's Antonio Brown's agent, was walking around the field in Miami, and the Krafts were down there. And there was a moment where they met up, and Robert and Jonathan had a long conversation with Rosenhaus, and Robert did most of the talking, if you've watched that video. And it, to me, that struck me. That was like, ooh, this is interesting. I wonder what they're talking about, because maybe they hadn't seen each other, maybe they haven't talked, whatever. But I thought that played into the fact that maybe the Patriots signed the guy, didn't do the due diligence they probably should have, but they took him on because they wanted to jump on the talent and jump on while they could. And then all this stuff came out, and it was probably maybe the Krafts or the Patriots saying, like, hey, anything else we should know about here? Like, this is a big, we're taking a leap here. And it sounds like they were okay trying to go through this civil lawsuit with him. They had put out a statement, and they had stood behind him, and they tried. I mean, and that statement they put out yesterday when they released him, they said it was, thank you to all the hardworking people. There was a lot of people that worked hard on this the last 11 days.
Right.
But to have a player where you have to have people in your organization that work hard to just keep him in line, it just wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to last the whole season. And you know what else wasn't going to last?
It could have. If Antonio Brown was on good behavior, on his best behavior, it could have lasted. He screwed it up.
He did.
It's nothing the Patriots did to mess us up. He screwed it up himself.
No, but you figured that something else was going to come up. It was just so hard to keep this guy in line, Scott. And something else, you know, to me, it just struck me. I went to Belichick's press conference yesterday. And obviously last week he got chased off the podium. Yesterday, he stopped the press conference himself. He said, we know about Antonio's situation. We take it seriously. We're looking into it, with his words. We're looking into it, but I don't want to comment at this time. And then he took six questions, and they were all about Antonio Brown. And then when he started hearing another one coming, he just said, okay, yep, okay, I'm good. We've had enough of that. And he walked off himself. I'd never seen that. That was unprecedented.
Good for him.
But at the same time, he brought that on himself, and the organization brought that on themselves. That's the kind of attention that this guy brings.
Yep.
And I think at that point, maybe he looked at it too and said, okay, what happened? Maybe that opened his eyes to, okay, why are they asking me all these questions again? What's going on? What is this? What are we talking about here? Saw it. Robert Kraft saw it. They spoke, and they said, all right, we need to let him go.
First of all, yeah, he knew. When did it come out yesterday, the text? And that was
early morning.
Yeah, he knew before
overnight.
His press conference. Don't think for a second he went into that press conference not knowing about that.
And that's why, if he did, I wonder why, too. Maybe he was waiting to speak with Robert. Maybe Robert was on the business trip. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It was an interesting PR play. If you were the Patriots, would you have, you know, cut him early in the morning? You know, Matt talked about it and cut him early in the morning so that you could address that during your media availabilities during the day? Because both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
That was the thought. When this broke in the morning, if you listened to the different sports talk stations, this and the other one, that was the thought, that the Patriots would probably cut him before Belichick's press conference and have this thing all wrapped up.
That was the interesting part to me, because then they went through the sort of car wash. They went through his press conference. They went through Tom Brady's presser, which was in the locker room, which was a weird move too in itself. That was weird. Maybe it's just because they couldn't take it live. I think that's what happens when you go into the locker room. You can't take it live. I think that's the Sports Hub was saying something like that. But I thought it was interesting that they waited until 4 o'clock to make that move when they probably, if they were thinking about it, they could have done it in the morning and then just moved on. But I guess maybe Bill didn't want to explain the move. He just wanted to do it and then, you know, not talk about it.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. JC's in East Providence. Good morning, JC. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Good morning, you fine gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Good, JC. What's up?
I have 2 points I want to make about this whole AV debacle. And the first point I want to make, I want you guys to try to listen to what I'm saying with an objective mind, because what I want to say is not coming from a Dolphins fan, anti-Pats bias. It's honestly not. But this whole AB thing this past week is what makes me, it's just another way that makes me long for the days of the old score on 790. Because when you have a weekly show like this and things are so detached from 1 week to the next, it's kind of tough because people like Dan and Cranston, and maybe he's legit, maybe he's sincere, I don't know. But you listen to people all week on the sports stations or even on the Gress show, and they're all talking about, you know, oh, we're going to go 19-0. It's going to be great. The Patriots are going to be able to fix them. And they're running all these little snap Insta polls saying, should the Patriots release them? And 70% of people are saying no. And then after he gets released, the same poll goes out. Was this a good move? 70% of the people are saying yes. I think it's hard when you have a weekly program, which kind of it's frustrating because it's hard to see, to know if people are actually being sincere in their thoughts or if it's just reacting to the last thing that they remember.
Well, JC, there are daily shows that Nick and I listen to, so we're aware of what's being talked about on a daily basis in situations like this. Just because I'm not on Monday through Friday like I used to be, or Nick's not on the radio Monday through Friday, but he hosts a sports cast every night on ABC6. We're well aware of what the daily scuttlebutt is regarding the Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, whatever, on and off the field. That doesn't mean we're not aware of it just because we're not on the radio 5 days a week. And I understand why those polls were what they were. When Antonio Brown was signed by the Patriots, as much as he was a horse's ass in Oakland, I think most people felt like with that one allegation that, okay, it's a he said, she said right now. It's not a criminal case. Let's let this thing play itself out. But I think when people saw those threatening texts yesterday morning, that tipped the scales. It went from 70-30 in his favor with Patriot fans to, as you said, 70-30 against. I get that.
I just think it's, I'm not saying you guys don't, you know, aren't aware of what's going on a daily basis. All I'm saying is it's weird how the whole thing flips. And to your point,
let's go back. What's weird about it? I just told you why it flipped. It flipped because of those threatening text messages and him sending in that text a picture of her kids. So that's what made people flip. What don't you understand about that?
I disagree. I disagree because yesterday in the morning they had one of those polls after that whole thing came out, and the fans were saying it was like 55-45 saying no, you need to wait for more facts. So I mean, I think people just react to the last thing they see, and I thought it was going to be a mistake from the beginning. And you go back to last week's game against Miami, the perfect thing. Every single time, I don't know if you guys touched on this, but I just started listening like 20 minutes ago. Every time the Patriots ran a play in the first quarter, they were circling Antonio Brown. The camera was on Antonio Brown. It was going to become a focal point all year long.
Well,
I'm amazed that they actually took this long, that it took Belichick having to get run off the podium 2 weeks in a row, which I've never seen. That blew my mind.
Yep.
To actually say, okay, we're done here. This is too much of a distraction because Belichick, for as much as I'm not a fan of Bill Belichick, he is very good at just giving the directive to the media, not budging, not coming off of his stance and pretending like it doesn't even exist. And I think he even sees, okay, this is a different case. I'm not going to deal with this.
Well,
this
like we said, JC, the tipping point here was these text messages happened while he was a member of the Patriots organization. Like all the things that happened before were what they were. And I think they were willing to try to give him a clean slate and say, I don't know what happened before. you know, if things escalated to some sort of criminal charge, okay, that's different and whatnot. But they're willing to sort of back him until he did what he did with the text messages, and that happened under their watch. And that's what that's
yeah,
why
I 100% agree with that. I'm not talking about people flipping on their opinion of Antonio Brown. I'm talking about the way, like Dan and Cranston was saying, you know, I watched the game, but I couldn't enjoy it because it was bittersweet because Antonio Brown's out there making plays, but I don't want him on the team. I don't agree with that. Fans are fans. You're going to separate what a guy does off the field and what a guy does on the field. Yes, you don't want him on the team because you find out all the stuff that's going on. But, I mean, if Tom Brady had done something, not to this degree, do you think people are all of a sudden going to say, oh, I can't watch Tom Brady? No, you separate what happens on and off the field. That's the point I'm trying to make on Antonio Brown. I don't know anybody that I can think of who was watching the game, the swaddling of my Dolphins last week, saying, oh, this kind of sucks because Antonio Brown.
Okay, so
I think that's a little disingenuous.
So I was at the game in Miami, as you may or may not know, last week, and I'm going to say two things. Number one, I wasn't crazy about the fact that I thought Tom Brady was just trying to force-feed Antonio Brown as much as he could early in
that
game.
Too.
That,
yeah.
To me, I to be honest with you, you know who I felt bad for? Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon.
I did. I'm like, you know, Josh Gordon comes out week one, plays pretty well, and then they add Antonio Brown. It's like, oh, yeah, forget about you. I'm just going to try to force-feed Antonio Brown. I didn't like that as a Patriots fan, and I felt bad literally for Josh Gordon. That's number one. Number two, let's talk about your Miami Dolphins. That was the worst professional football team I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. And they are not even hiding the fact that they're trying to tank for Tua. Right. I mean, you know, you want to, it's not cheating, but does the league need to do something about this? This is embarrassing that they've traded all of these good players. I understand they're now sitting on a boatload of draft picks. And for Miami's sake and your sake, I hope they get a lot of them right. That they're a disgrace right now, that organization.
I just hope they don't.
They're not even
competitive. I just hope they don't draft Tua because I don't like Tua. I don't want him. I'd rather have Herbert. But to your point, yeah, and now they're shopping Kenyon Drake. They're looking to move Kenyon Drake. So
yeah, well, the talk is that he's a freelancer, that even Adam Gase felt the same way about him, that he goes off script too much.
Yeah, I knew they were going to be bad. I didn't think they'd be this bad, but to that point, real quick, if you got a second, I think the NFL should come up with – I'm torn, actually, because I want to say the NFL should come up with some sort of draft lottery, but I don't want it to be abused because there's not a person in the world that thinks the NBA draft lottery is legit after
I agree
the
with
Pelicans lose a star player, have like a 6% chance, and all of a sudden they get the number one pick. So I'm torn on that.
Yeah, JC, thank you for calling. I agree with him completely. Yeah. Like, a situation like this where Miami is blatantly tanking makes you say that maybe there needs to be some kind of lottery, but I hate the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah, me too.
Because I do think the worst teams need to get the number one pick.
And I think teams can build off of that too, especially with the NFL. They need that. It is. With the lottery, at least, okay, it's five guys you're putting on the court. Like, if you're losing the lottery every year and you're the Miami Dolphins and you're trying to rebuild a roster of 53 guys to go out there and try to win a fight, it's going to take a long time.
I don't know how the Miami Dolphins can look their season ticket holders in the face and ask them for their money. It's really bad.
It's horrible.
I mean, it's really bad.
Horrible.
To go to their games knowing that the team has no shot, that you're looking at a team that's like a glorified college team right now.
Bad.
It's really bad in Miami.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of Dolphin fans are saying, not only do we not want Tua, we want Trevor Lawrence, who's not coming out until the following year. You're going to put tank for 2 years and have this for 2 years for your fans? Oh, my God. I can't even imagine what that would be like in Miami.
And I hope you're right about that, too, because as much as I like Lawrence, he's had a meh start to the season here for Clemson.
Yeah.
It's not been that world beater that he was last year. It's meh. So, interesting.
Let's say hello to our friend Joe in Pawtucket. Good morning, Joe. You're next on Kordishi and Coit on WEEI.
Joey!
Morning.
Joey!
Good morning,
Joe. Joe, you come pick that phone up, Joe.
Yeah.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. I thought you were going to a commercial.
Not yet. No, we waited for you.
Joe's producing now.
Hey, what are your thoughts about the Patriots game this weekend? No Antonio Brown. He's a good player, but off-field problems, I feel bad for him. And the Kansas City-Baltimore game, Harbaugh and Reed, that's supposed to be a good game this week, Baltimore and Kansas City.
Yeah, it will be.
And Another big game this weekend is Notre Dame versus Georgia. AB college football game of the week. ESPN's going to be there. So I'll hear your thoughts, and I feel bad about Antonio Brown. So I'll hear your thoughts.
All right, Joe. So what do I think about the Patriots-Jets game? The Jets are on their third-string quarterback.
Luke Falk is their quarterback.
Who, by the way, was picked with the 199th pick in the draft.
Oh, stop. I haven't been able to look at football stuff. That's a good tidbit. I just haven't been able to look this week.
So I like the Patriots a lot, obviously. Yeah. You know, if you had Sam Darnold, I do respect Greg Williams. I think he's a good defensive coordinator, but I just, you know, Le'Veon Bell. But I just think when you're on your third string quarterback, the Patriots can do everything they can to take Le'Veon Bell away from that Jet offense and make them beat them with another offensive weapon. So how don't you like the Patriots Sunday?
Well, it is because you mentioned at the top of the show the defense. And I'll tell you, somebody who I've just been thoroughly impressed with for 2 weeks, and a guy that, yes, they held the Rams to 3 points in the Super Bowl, but they didn't have this guy, and they've re-added him, and he has been tremendous for the Patriots defense. You know who I'm talking about? Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
He has been tremendous.
That interception, though, was handed to him.
Oh, man, of course.
Just another example of the ineptitude of the Miami Dolphins.
But he has been, like, versatile like they had in the past. It's just different to me. He seems like more of a veteran guy, and he can be a playmaker for this defense. He makes a huge difference. And so I think that's a guy that you're going to look at and you say, Jamie, Le'Veon Bell is yours. You go get him. Just go. Yep. You go after him every time he gets the ball. You know, that's it.
You're going to have him spy Le'Veon?
Pretty much.
All right. Notre Dame at Georgia, Joe. I like the Bulldogs. There you go. Enough said about that. We'll take a break. Speaking of college football, when we come back, the Brown Bears open up their season today with an interstate clash at Bryant. We'll talk to Bears head coach James Perry when we continue on Cordishian Coit on WEEI.